Among the participants at the 13th Ordinary Assembly of the Synod of Bishops for the New Evangelization are 10 representatives elected by the Union of Superiors General of Men's Religious Orders. One of them is Father Robert F. Prevost, the prior general of the Order of St. Augustine, or Augustinians. He spoke to Anne Schneibel about the new evangelization.
The question is a very good one, and it's one that a number of the Synod participants have expressed themselves. Because in one sense, as some of them have said, it's really not a new evangelization, it's a renewed evangelization, because evangelization, that is the proclaiming of the message of the gospel, has been the very heart of the church's mission from Pentecost, from the very beginning of the life of the church. So on the one hand, I think it's important to keep that in mind. And at the same time, we have some very clear and significant teaching from the church, especially from Pope John Paul II, Blessed Pope John Paul, and from Pope Benedict XVI, that have made it clear that in significant ways, with the challenges that the church faces today, there is a need for a new kind of proclaiming of this message. The message is always the same. It's the gospel. It's the message of Jesus Christ. We proclaim Jesus Christ who has died and risen. And yet, especially in many parts of the world, we see that according to the challenges that are there, there is a need for the church to go back once again to the basis of that call, which we all receive in our baptism, and to say, how can we approach this mission in a new way? From an Augustinian point of view, there are probably several facets to that. I will, at least at the outset, take that, meaning Augustinian, the order of St. Augustine, and not Augustinian, St. Augustine, although the answer could be obviously multifaceted. Religious orders have been a part of evangelization throughout the history of the church. I think it's significant that on Sunday, tomorrow, there will be a canonization of seven saints. One of them is a young Filipino who was 17 when he was martyred, Pedro Calungsod, who died, in effect, teaching the faith because he was faithful to Jesus Christ. The Augustinians were significant in the evangelization of the Philippines from the very beginning. We were the first missionary order to arrive in the Philippines, and we had a very significant role to play in the canonization of Pedro Calungsod, who was a layman. He was not an Augustinian. But that's the church, religious, working with bishops and priests, working with lay people, working with all the people of God, and proclaiming the message. As religious, as missionaries, as a group of men and women who have been called by Christ to consecrate our lives, to fully dedicate ourselves to the preaching of the gospel, to living the gospel message, this is a very important mission for us. And as we took part in evangelization in the past, we're very committed to continuing that role today.
And could you speak a little bit more about the role of the Augustinians in promoting the cause for canonization of this new Filipino saint that we're about to have?
Well, it's actually just a very practical, simple response. Pedro Calungsod, as I mentioned, was a lay catechist who left the Philippines with the missionaries and actually was martyred in what today is called the island of Guam. And the bishops of the Philippines were very interested in seeing his cause promoted. And so they, in effect, went around looking who might be able to help them out to carry the cause forward, because obviously a part of any cause for beatification and canonization is the background work, the extensive study, investigation, preparing of materials, interviewing people, research into history to discover if, in fact, there are sufficient reasons, proofs available that would say this person was indeed a saint who went above and beyond, if you will, with the grace of God to truly be a saint. When the bishops in the Philippines, and specifically the Archbishop of Cebu, was looking for someone to help out with this cause, because of the Augustinian presence in Cebu, He asked my predecessor, the prior general of the order at that time, Father Orcasitas, if the order would be willing and able to do that. And we responded very openly and willingly to help them take on, if you will, this very important cause. So now, after a number of years, we are arriving at this great celebration tomorrow of the canonization of Saint Pedro Calungsod. He was beatified some years ago and now will be canonized because of the work specifically that the postulator general, the man who sees this aspect of our work, who supervises the preparation of the causes of the saints, the work that he did and the support of the order in this, we were able to see this come to its completion in the canonization.
And now, obviously, throughout this synod, we've been hearing a lot about the role of the laity in the new evangelization and evangelizing the laity. However, you know, within this context, could you speak about the role of the new evangelization in helping to spread the call for vocations? You know, I'm not wording this very well. You know, just the role, you know, the mission of encouraging young people in particular to embrace or at least pursue religious vocations.
I think that's a very important question. And I would say, first of all, that just based on one of the talks that we heard yesterday that came from a 23-year-old layman who spoke to us in the synod. He's an invited guest. He's a lay catechist from Rome who began his intervention by saying, I've sat here for 2 weeks listening to bishops and priests talk about lay people. Now I, a young layman, want to talk to you priests. And he spoke very clearly, and I would say very powerfully, about the importance of priesthood specifically, but I would say priesthood and religious life in the church today, and the role, the model that priests and religious are called to offer to young people and to all people in the church. And it was very striking how he spoke, and it certainly brought all of us who were listening back to recall some of the elements of what vocation is about. There have been numerous talks given during the synod about the need for conversion, and beginning again with conversion of ourselves and understanding how the grace of God is a powerful force that can work in our lives. From that, I believe that the witness, the example, the model of men and women who consecrate their lives as religious, of men who are called to serve in the sacramental priesthood in the church, those are significant contributions to the life of the church, which are still very necessary. And as we've talked about evangelization, the new evangelization, it's been very clear that the church needs people to take on, to accept generously the call from the Lord to give their lives fully to service in the church, different ways, but as religious, as consecrated men and women, and also as men would be called to the priesthood to serve the church through the ministerial priesthood. It's a service that speaks very loudly in today's world, and I think gives a very clear message that while all baptized are called to holiness, while all of us are called to take part in different ways in the mission of preaching the gospel, if you will, of announcing, of giving witness to the importance of faith in Jesus Christ in our world today, the church needs more young men and women to say yes with generosity, to give their lives fully to service in the church, fully to witnessing to the gospel, so that this message can continue.
And just one final question, Father. Could you speak about the role of St. Augustine for young people in this new evangelization? You know, in particular through his writings and his life, I think a lot of young people, especially those who are searching, can really identify themselves with St. Augustine. Could you speak about this within the context of everything that's going on?
Very happily, I could speak about St. Augustine. He's been quoted numerous times during the interventions in the Synod Hall, and for various reasons. But specifically, to respond to your question, in terms of the role or the service that St. Augustine, his life and his writings, can offer, especially to young people, I would go back to something I just said a couple of minutes ago and talk about conversion. Augustine, in many ways, is one of the first great thinkers who wrote with tremendous honesty and transparency about the struggles of his own life, about what it meant to be a man who was searching with a restless heart, always looking for something else, at times not understanding what he was searching for, but clearly having a sense that there had to be more to life than just the superficial pleasures, than just things that were relatively unimportant, that perhaps for a very short time could have brought some pleasure, but in the end didn't bring real happiness. So especially in the Confessions of St. Augustine, we discover this man with the restless heart who understands, as he says so well, that our hearts are always restless until they rest in God, and that our search in life is really about looking for the richness that comes from a relationship with Christ that brings us into a deeper understanding of what life is about, what human beings are about, and what faith is about. So Augustine puts it all out in black and white, and if you read his Confessions, you see the struggles he had, you see the difficulties he had, as an adolescent, as a young adult, in dealing with relationships, in dealing with studies, in dealing with thinking about what he's going to do the rest of his life and thinking about what the meaning of life is. And those are the basic questions that even today young people still struggle with. And so with his honesty and his openness and with the great wealth that comes from the insights he received both in his own struggling and his own search for himself and ultimately his search for God, as he shares that with others, I think that young people can discover a true sense of, a guiding light, someone who has walked that path before them and who left a wonderful, wonderful amount of deep wisdom and experience to share with them so that they too, I think, can benefit from the life, the love, the friendship, and the studying and the whole searching that Augustine did. And that's a great gift to, I think, anyone who is really looking, really questioning, really searching. You can find an awful lot in St. Augustine.
Now, Father, is there anything else you would like to add about the Synod or about what we've been talking about?
From a perspective of being an Augustinian and being one of the representatives of consecrated life in the Synod, I would just like to underline how significant it has been to be a part of the Synod. Obviously, the Synod is the Synod of Bishops. The bishops are the pastors of the church, they're the teachers. And yet, in the very makeup of the Synod, the presence of numerous members of consecrated life has also added a rich dimension to the whole experience. And I think that when we talk about evangelization and when we talk about the mission of the church, the recognition of the multiple kinds of service and lifestyles that there are in the church is a benefit to everyone. So for myself, having been able to take part in the reflections on the life and ministry of the church, and to hear and understand also both the appreciation and the challenge that's placed before religious life, before members of different orders and congregations of consecrated life, as we see all that going on today, and it's something that's very much alive, very needed, and for which I think there is still great need in the church, it's an exciting kind of opportunity to say, we as Augustinians, we as religious are a part of this, and together we're working with this wonderful mystery that is the church, all of God's people, in wanting to share that very joyful message that we receive from our faith in Jesus Christ.